Now, some of the letters we've received recently. Our report on methamphetamine abuse led Michael Pagan in Piscataway, New Jersey, to, in his words, gently chide us for our negative treatment of motorcyclists. He writes, I happen to know that the vast majority of motorcyclists does not have anything to do with methamphetamine. Saying that bikers are involved in anything is tantamount to saying that automobile drivers are involved in the same thing. Try to narrow your category to outlaw bikers, or maybe outlaw biker gangs. And Mr. Pagan has an etymological bone to pick with us concerning the origin of the slang name for the drug, crank. Our story linked it to the motorcycle crank cases where it was hidden. He says, long before methamphetamine existed, people spoke of getting cranked up over something. I think this is where the term is derived. Years ago in college, we used to refer to coffee as crank, but nobody was hiding any Jamaica Blue Mountain beans in their crankcase. From Greg Rapp in Austin, Texas, thanks for reminding me about what matters in the world. As time slips by, it often seems easy to get lost in the mundane details of everyday life. Then, on the way home from work, I hear a wonderful piece on All Things Considered, not a sound bite, not a give us 60 seconds and we'll give you the world, but a thoughtful, lyrical piece about something beautiful, like the piece on F. Scott Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's writing, says Greg Rapp, wasn't the only thing that glittered. Laurie Anderson's piece here won praise from Phil Massey in Tucson, Arizona, who writes this, My only complaint is that the subject material of her report, that of pretend astronauts taking part in a psychobabble experiment, really wasn't bizarre enough for her talents to really fly. Why, oh why, didn't you ever cover the Republican and Democratic conventions? And some mail about the commentary by Joe LeConte on the 200th anniversary of George Washington's farewell and what the father of our country had to say about virtue, faith, and character. Myron Remington says he deeply appreciated the piece. In my opinion, he writes, the closing statement of our first president should be required reading at both high school and college level. Even those who do not believe as the founding fathers did still should know what they believed as they created this nation. But Barry Mailer, who identifies himself as an associate professor of history and firm believer in the virtue of imperfection, takes issue. Political rhetoric, he writes, is a notoriously unreliable measure of political reality. Washington was never a terribly religious man. Even on his deathbed, there was no minister in attendance. Indeed, Washington's closest advisor and his Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, an immigrant and illegitimate child of an adulterous relationship, was hardly a paragon of religious virtue. And much of the rhetoric of the day about the rising tide of corruption was aimed at that notorious deist, Thomas Jefferson. Our address is Letters, All Things Considered, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 20001. By email, the address is atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us either way where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.